More power has moved to the White House and away from Congress over the past few decades, much more. You see it in the number of executive orders and rulemaking efforts originating in the White House. New research shows this can cause gyrations for the career workforce, with people deciding to either quit on philosophical grounds or stick around and wait out a current president. Joining me with more, David Lewis, professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. Professor Lewis, good to have you on.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be here.
So you have done a look at the effect of the administrative presidency, which is well documented, as your work shows, but it has a big effect not just on the political workforce, which is obvious, but also on the career people, too.
That's right. I think people don't appreciate what a big career event an election can be. A new president coming in, bringing new policy priorities, can dramatically affect the work that career civil servants engage in day to day.
And I guess the upcoming change in administration could be a little bit more abrupt, even perhaps than from, say, Bush to Obama.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's quite a different kind of transition for a couple of reasons. One is that it was somewhat surprising. And two, the president-elect has some pretty dramatically different policy views than previous presidents before him. And so it's going to be a big shock for many people working in the various agencies of government.
Now, your work has identified different types of high-level career employees. You call them different types of zealot bureaucrats, which is kind of a tough-sounding word, but describe the types and what they tend to do.
Yeah, let me be clear. I think that we use the word zealot not in a pejorative sense. If you think about people that make their careers in the federal government, you can imagine two types generally. There's sort of those folks who see their work as basically just a job. They work there like they would in the private sector for a salary and benefits and, you know, kind of put their time in and do their work. And then there are those who work in government, importantly, because not just for salary and benefits, but also because they care about public policy. They care about the mission of their agencies. They work in government because they care about public service. And this second group we call zealots, not in a pejorative sense, but just basically part of what makes their work appealing to them is the fact that they get to contribute to the public welfare.
Calling might be a good word.
Exactly.
And so when there is a change in policy from the top, that causes people to not necessarily leave, but some of them stay and wait out. What are the dynamics there?
Yeah, so I think there are four different dynamics. I mean, the first one is sort of an obvious one, which is for some of these folks that care about public policy, a new president can be exciting for them, right? So if you're, you know, an employee of Immigration and Customs Enforcement or Customs and Border Protection, you think, boy, the president-elect is, you know, somebody who finally gets it right, right? These are, you know, these are cases where the union endorsed the president-elect, and so they're excited about the new president coming in. But for many civil servants working in these agencies, they're seeing a Trump presidency and thinking, oh my goodness, what's going to happen here? And so for the ones who are concerned about the policy priorities of the new president, there are sort of three things that they can do. One is this sort of a wait them out strategy, which is, you know, when they're faced with a president who's going to push on their agency some what they would consider to be distasteful policies, they'll stick around and hope for the election of a new president down the road. So that's one thing they can do. A second group will say they have kind of a I can make a difference attitude. And that's a more engaged sort of way of going about things where they say, yeah, they're going to be distasteful policies, but maybe I can stay here and I can ameliorate the bad effects, or I can talk the new president out of some maybe unwise choices. And then the third will just is a group that says, look, I can't stick around. I've got to, you know, I don't want to dirty my hands with, I don't want to be associated with these kinds of policy changes. And so I'm going to leave government altogether.
We're speaking with David Lewis, professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. And I imagine the big debate over the Affordable Care Act, which could be repealed and replaced, and we really don't know exactly what Congress is going to do just yet, but that would affect a lot of people at Health and Human Services and to some extent the IRS. And how do you think that might play out for them?
Yeah, I think what you've identified there, Tom, is exactly the kind of dynamic that our research focuses on, which is there are some agencies in government where people have spent their careers creating policies, implementing policies, putting things into place, and spent a lot of time and effort and expertise doing this. And to have a president come in and kind of rework everything, these are folks that are going to be the most affected by the new administration, and the departure rates are going to be highest here. So it's whether it's Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services or the IRS or other agencies like the EPA or the Department of Energy. those are the kinds of places we say you got to look for the departures here.
I guess for the individual employee, it might matter as to what you think, you as the employee, think is the motivation of the new crowd. You could look at the repeal of ACA as a way of saying, golly, they really want to do a better job at getting insurance to people that don't have it. Or you could look at it as saying, most people don't care at all about the people that can't get insurance.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, most of the people who are working in government rightly recognize the role that elections play in the work that they do. What's difficult is when policymaking responsibility is taken out of the hands of agency officials and brought sort of into a centralized small group of people who are making decisions, and their advice isn't listened to anymore. The mistakes that they've learned to avoid get made all over again, and that can be pretty disheartening in terms of their efforts to innovate, their efforts to try to be creative about solving problems, and that's a real problem.
And what can the incoming people do if they are of a mind to try to keep people, even that may agree with the old policy, if they feel they have value and should stay in the agency? What can they do to encourage that?
I think, you know, I think this conversation highlights a couple of things. I mean, I would say in our analysis, the center of it is really the centralization of policymaking. And when folks who have spent their careers working in particular areas, working hard to solve problems and to implement public policy, when that responsibility is taken away from them or they're excluded, this can demotivate those folks. So what the incoming crowd can do is they can express a willingness to learn, they can express an appreciation for the hard work that's been done before, and invite the continuing professional personnel into the decision-making process rather than exclude them from this process. They don't have to agree with the recommendations of these folks, but they've got to give a proper recognition. Most civil servants, as I said, respect the right of a new administration to shape policy, but that respect has to go both ways. And so politicals need to be aware of that when they come in.
Now, you've also had some access to OPM analysis of people that come and go for work you did for the National Bureau of Economic Research. What did that show in that the reality is?
Well, it shows pretty clearly. So we looked at data over the last, say, quarter century, looking at turnovers in presidential administration. And what you see is an increase in departures with a party change in the White House. So that happens pretty regularly. It happens most at the highest levels of the civil service for reasons I think we can understand. And it happens most in what we call mismatch agencies, which are these agencies like we've been talking about, where the mission and history and tradition of an agency and the composition of the personnel speaks to a different set of policy priorities than the new president has. So these mismatch agencies are really where the departures are targeted.
Besides HHS, what are some of the other likely mismatches?
Well, some of the mismatches that we could identify would be ones that you would sort of classically consider to be sort of left-leaning in terms of their emphasis and provision. So places like Environmental Protection Agency, which is focused on, sort of environmental regulation. The Affordable Care Act, the Department of Energy, right? It's it's sort of an obvious case when the person nominated to be the secretary has publicly advocated for the abolition of the department that they're, likely to head.
Yeah, that can be kind of tough if you work there.
Yeah, so places like that, there's some concern, actually, and I think you've probably read the same reports. There are these sort of anecdotal reports about concerns in national security. Now, national security is usually a place where if you look at, what are the sort of more right-leaning or conservative agencies? It tends to be law enforcement and military. But because the president-elect has some dramatically different views that differ from the kind of historical traditions of Democrats and Republicans in foreign policy, there are some national security staff that are careerists that are thinking, this might be tough for me.
And so with the upcoming Trump administration, do you feel that this might be a more dramatic shift? And there might be some more dislocation at these mismatched agencies than traditionally?
I think that my expectation would be yes. I think that this will follow the historical pattern that we've seen from the data that OPM provided. And it might be even sort of on the higher end of that historical pattern because of how dramatically different some of the president's policy priorities have been than either Democrats or Republicans in the past.
David Lewis is professor of political science at Vanderbilt University. Thanks so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Tom.
You can find a link to his research at the National Bureau of Economic Research and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.